Hey, this is the Rebel Room Mountain West Conference Tournament Edition right here on LasVegasSun.com. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Mike Grimala, breaking down the UNLV basketball team's chances to make a run at the Thomas and Mack Center starting Thursday against Boise State in the league tournament. And Mike, if we would have had this conversation last Friday when the Rebels had won four in a row, going into San Jose State, the worst team in the league, and playing their best basketball of the season, we would have said, hey, they've got live action. However, at the end of the San Jose State game, the player, Mitro Long, who had basically become their, what, most valuable guy?
Most valuable player.
For goes sure. down with a knee injury. Knee contusion is what they're labeling it. Status questionable for all intents and purposes. For me, I'm assuming he's not there. And now it's like, okay, when do we turn our jerseys in?
Well, he is the most valuable player. You can't overstate it. I probably tweeted out some of the numbers this week. Just with him on the floor in those four guard lineups, UNLV is unstoppable. You know, they're blowing people out. And then when he's off the floor and they try to play four guards, they're losing. They're underwater in terms of total score. So they need him in order to be that Mountain West contender. When he went down live, I had a pretty good angle on it. I thought he was done for the year. Like, I thought he blew something out just the way he was going full speed, and then he buckled. And his reaction was the most alarming thing, because, you know, he stayed dead. He tried to get up, and then he took a couple steps. Then he went back down, and he started slapping the floor, and he was clearly frustrated. It made me think, like, he knew his season was over. So the fact that he's even questionable for this game on Thursday, that's at least something to be excited about if you were a UNLV fan. Like, I thought he was done, but this is with that context, it's good news. But the fact that they described it as a severe knee contusion makes me think that you're not going to see him at full speed and at full strength. You know, like, it'll be four full days of rest since he banged it. It's hard for me to see, like, a severe knee contusion going away that quickly, where he's back at, you know, flying around the court, zipping up and down like we're used to seeing him. So you may get him, you know, maybe less minutes, maybe, not as quite as quick as we're used to, but I think he'll probably try to play.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's a buzzkill. The Rebels 17-14, playing good ball. In fact, today Andy Katz, who does his national power rankings 1 through 36, throws the Rebels in at 36, and yeah, I get it. We're number 36 doesn't sound cool, but when you consider that UNLV was 200th at the start of the season, that's quite an accomplishment, and it shows just how good they're playing. You know, let's say they beat Boise, they're 18-14, then they play San Diego State, who they've beaten this year, but who only has one loss on Friday in the semis, and lose. They finish 18-15, probably not enough to get in the NIT. Would UNLV try the CAA or the CBI or the ABC tournament?
It's a question. In recent years, UNLV has not done any of those tournaments. They've had chances to play in those lesser tournaments, and they've always turned it down, either because I don't think Dave Rice wanted to play in those, or just because, you know, it's kind of UNLV is used to better than that. You know, it's kind of NCAA or nothing, or why bother? And also some of those tournaments, like, there's costs involved, and you kind of have to weigh it against, like, what do you gain? Are you trying to build momentum for next year? I think UNLV's already done that with the way they finished the season. Are you trying to get players more established for next year? Maybe. There might be something to playing in those tournaments. It would be interesting to see. Because, they'll probably qualify. You could play in the CBI or the CIT.
But again, you got to come out of pocket to do that. And has UNLV got the funds to come out of pocket?
They get the funds to hire coaches. They've been paying top dollar for their last two, you know, their men's basketball and their football hire. So if you need 10 grand to play in, you know, if TJ Otzelberger says,
it's
hey,
a little more than 10 grand.
Yeah, but, you know, okay. if TJ says, hey, Desiree, can you shake the couch cushions and get us to this tournament or host this game for us so we can get a couple more games of experience, maybe give some young guys run. They could probably do it if they wanted to. But also, you look at the team, and it's like, who are the young guys that you're developing? Like, Amari Hardy, Bryce Hamilton, the guys that are going to come back next year, like, the young guys on the team are already developed, and they're, you know, they're playing roles right now. It's not a young team.
I mean, I think for me, it's you look at your core that's going to come back. DeJong, Hardy, Coleman, Hamilton.
Those guys are coming back as juniors and seniors.
I understand, but now you have an opportunity to come back with some wins under your belt. Maybe you make a run and you're playing so good right now. What if you make a run and you win the whole thing? Or you make it, you win a few rounds of it, and now you've got that winning mentality, that under pressure performing type of thing.
I think that they've already accomplished that. I think that's, if you're looking to finish the season strong, I don't think they could finish it any stronger than they have in the last 3 weeks. You know, they've come back. They've been the best team in the Mountain West over that time. Like, if you were doing a Mountain West power ranking going into the tournament.
Grimal, like I don't want to cut you off, dude.
Jump ahead anytime you want.
Let me tell you something. What's today?
Today is Monday, March 2nd.
What day is Thursday?
Thursday, March 5th.
So you're telling me that UNLV, which still, despite being to the tournament five times since the 91 Final Four, still has one of the best winning percentages in NCAA history, is going to be done playing basketball for the year on March 5th?
I'm telling you, it could be a possibility.
What's the end game here? Every March, it's like, all right, it's spring training?
But there are some fans who do not want to – they see it as an embarrassment to play in those 500 tournaments where if you go 500, you get in. This isn't – you're sort of giving the UNLV basketball – You're now saying you're going to celebrate them like they're the UNLV football program. UNLV football strives to go 6-6 and make the last remaining bowl game. You're kind of saying UNLV basketball is now in that same boat where, hey, we want to go 18-17 and make the last seed of the CBI. And some fans don't want to do that. They'd rather just end the season and get on to next year. But I see where you're coming from. But I think it's too early to talk about that anyways, because if Long is going to suit up and play, I think they got a chance to make some noise in the Mountain West tournament.
I think this is our disconnect. Obviously, you've seen every game this year. I haven't. Obviously, we both agree they're playing well. But do you really see them beating San Diego State twice?
They've played them twice already. Both games came down to the last minute. They lost one. They won the last time they played. Mitchell Long was the difference in that game when he was healthy. You saw the plays he made down the stretch. Otzelberger is a better coach than Dutcher, I believe, in game. I think you'll have the coaching edge in that game. I think UNLV will have as good – UNLV has a better chance to beat them than anyone else in the conference. Like, if you're giving me odds for the conference tournament, I take San Diego State 1, UNLV 2. I think they got a real chance. Like, that's just me watching them. They're getting hot at the right time, and they sort of played it perfectly. They shifted to this four-guard lineup, and they did it at the time of year where they're ramping it up. Other teams have not seen a lot of it. They've been doing it more and more and more. You saw it on San Jose State. They finally started the four guards. They played 38 or 39 minutes of it. Like, they have fully invested right now. This is the time you're going to hit it, and I don't think the rest of the conference has really figured it out yet because you haven't given them enough time to. I think UNLV has as good a chance as anyone except San Diego State to win the tournament.
You know what scares me, Grimala? Is if UNLV were to beat San Diego State and make it to the finals, they're more than likely going to play Reno. And it's just Steve Alford knows how to win tournaments. So many times I've seen that twerp swirling the net around in the Thomas and Mack when he was in Mexico. Even when he was with Iowa and he sucked at Iowa, they won the Big 12.
It's not going to be
Pac-12.
Easy. I'm not saying
Big 12, Big 10.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but the last time they played that team, they went to overtime, you know, and that was a close game. And UNLV had a chance at the end of regulation to win. Hamilton missed a shot. Like, these teams are not out of UNLV's reach, and that was before UNLV had embraced the small ball.
I'd rather lose to Boise on Thursday than lose to Reno on Saturday.
No way. No, if you don't want to see this team in the Mountain West Championship, see the fans like get into it, see the MAC get full, see like a little battle-borne rivalry for the way. I mean, yeah, you might lose, but that's the risk that you take when you play. Like,
okay, tell me about this, and I think some of the fans want to know. It's the tournament's a week earlier this year, and it just feels like, you know, we're the – what's the conference that your alma mater's in, Northeastern?
The Colonial American – Colonial Athletic
Association.
It feels
like we're in the Colonial Athletic. I mean, there's one thing about being a mid-major, which UNLV is, but, you know, outside of maybe the I mean, we have to be the best mid-major out there.
Or, I mean, San Diego State is
no, the, top five the, in the country. The Mountain yeah, West has to be the best
as a
mid-major,
whole.
Yes, right?
They usually get two or three
so
teams
why are
in the tournament.
Why are they contesting the tournament when, you know, the California Junior College Association is having their tournament?
As I understand it, this is a one-year thing. It was a scheduling thing where they needed to move it up for 1 year, but I think they'll go back to
the schedule
next year.
I mean, this is tragic management by the league. The league is doing itself absolutely no favors. This is how you're a one-bid league.
I don't know.
Hot and bothered.
I don't know how much the timing of the tournament will factor into Selection Sunday. I do think the Mountain West has a chance to get – obviously, they have a chance to get two. If someone other than San Diego State wins the tournament, they'll get two.
Utah State's on the bubble.
If Utah State hadn't lost to New Mexico over the weekend, you could have had a chance where maybe you get three teams in if San Diego State gets upset and then Utah State makes it to the final and gets beat by a third team. The third team could get in. Utah State could maybe be at large, and San Diego State's in. So you could have gotten three. Now you're probably looking at 1.5. Whether or not San Diego State wins it. But yeah, Mountain West is a good conference. They'll be back to normal.
What was the scheduling? Was the Thomas and Mack booked?
I honestly forget.
Is the motocross going on?
I should know it, but it's something. There's some reason they moved it a week early, but I think it's going back next year.
It just breaks my heart, Grimal. I just, it doesn't feel like for me, March Madness is that second week of March, you know, going on a run. But, you know, it is what it is. I think the narrative win or lose is that the program is ahead of pace in terms of its redo, right?
A million miles ahead of where they would be under normal circumstances with a normal coach.
So it's a successful season.
To me, it's a wildly successful season just because you've got people have reason to be excited. Look at Bryce Hamilton. He's a kid who was, as a freshman, was very inconsistent. You were starting to think maybe he's a bust. He gets the hang of it.
Never got on the floor.
He gets the hang of it under Otzelberger, and boom, 20 points per game, all Mountain West. You look at Amari Hardy, took a big step forward this year, 14, 15 points a game. Look what he got out of Marvin Coleman. Look what he's getting out of Jay Green. Jay Green is now their backup center who plays 20 minutes a game, and they're good with him on the floor. Imagine when Otzelberger gets, like, no offense to Jay Green, if the Green family is listening, I'm sorry. But imagine if when Otzelberger recruits a real player to play that position, like, how good that this team could be. Like, he's a really, really good coach. I know you were on the fence early, you were uncertain. He's a really good coach.
Okay, X's and O's, no doubt about it. When the guy gets a Sharpie in his hand, things were going the right way.
Discipline off the court, like the program is the players. They want it. They want to be coached, and they want to be disciplined. They want to be told.
I just didn't like the way he recruited.
It's not going to be 4 stars and 5 stars all the time. They will go after some. They're going after Zion Collins. That's one of your boys, right? You love Zion Collins.
I love Zion Collins. In fact, I just rode a bus with
Zion.
I just rode a bus with his mother the other day. Sweetheart of a woman.
You get any inside info?
I did not. It didn't even register to ask her about it. So here's the deal, and I understand, and I when I talked to TJ, he told me, listen, recruiting the 5-star guy, McDonald's All-American, has proven not to work here, right? Brandon McCoy, Anthony Bennett, Rashad Vaughn.
Yep.
Good players that have had decent individual success, even Brandon McCoy, double-double.
Dwayne Morgan, Good Luck Okanoke. Like this, yeah. They've had a ton of 5-stars in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and unfortunately for UNLV, they haven't panned out, so Otzelberger is doing a complete 180. He's recruiting like the 27th best point guard in Southern California. And if he could turn that kid into an NCAA tournament, because here's the bottom line, Grimala. People like me and you that go to universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're proud of being at that university.
Mm-hmm.
And that third Thursday in March, you want to watch your university as one of those 65 universities or 60 whatever universities that are playing a game. And that doesn't happen at UNLV.
Well, I'm telling you, that will it might happen this year. You got a 20% chance it might happen. It's definitely going to happen. It's definitely going to happen next year. UNLV will be in the NCAA tournament next year. Bar none, no questions, no caveats. They will be in the NCAA tournament next year. You talk about
so
the recruiting.
Telling me,
This, you say he's going after the number 27 point guard in America. This is a coach who takes
in California, not just America. Well, America, that'd be great.
Well, this is a coach who took the number 27 point guard in Australia, and Jay Green has turned him into one of the best defensive centers in the Mountain West, where they're actually getting great minutes out of him. The guys that he brings in, I am completely convinced, will be good here. Like, they are, he'll find a way to make it work. Nick Blake is a good recruit. He's top 100.
Totally agreed. There's nobody saying Nick Blake is not a good recruit.
So there you go. Nick Blake by himself is better than, he's probably going to be like the best or second best freshman recruit that's coming into the Mountain West next year. I haven't like looked, but aside from, you know, transfers, Mountain West teams usually get some pretty good transfers in terms of rankings, but out of high school, Nick Blake's probably going to be the top or right at the top of what other schools are bringing in. So
Nick Blake's a good recruit.
If TJ Otzenberger wants to live in that top 100 to top 200 area and keep those guys for more than 1 year and like develop them in his system, that's plenty good enough for him to win at UNLV. Like, that's my opinion. I've completely bought into him as a coach. I think he's doing a really great job. I think they hit a home run with that.
Totally agree. I just think that Kamala,
if they beat Boise on Thursday and they get San Diego State on Friday in the Thomas and Mack Center for a trip to the Mountain West Final, you're not going to be excited and like because it's a week early?
I'm going to be excited, but here's the deal. You've done some cooking recently, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It helps when you go to make your meal if your product is a little better, right? That's. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to go out to Bobby Flay's Mesa Grill over at Caesars and get, you know, if Bobby's going to make you a meal, he's not going to start with ingredients from the dollar store, right?
Yes. I know where the analogy is going. I don't think it's a good one for this for the program. Like,
I just think that for me, and TJ has been a great X's and O coach. I just worry that this is UNLV. You could get a four-star kid like a Bryce Hamilton from LA to come in.
You want the star players on the court. I'm not talking recruiting stars. You want like players who are stars on the court where they're like doing amazing things and they're fun to watch and like they're dunking and you're just great.
In this day and age of recruiting,
which is fine.
The star system is a lot more accurate than it used to be. 10 years ago, I would have said, okay, this is flawed. There's two star kids all the time. Khalil, or what's the guy from the Bears, Mack, right?
Khalil Mack.
Was a two-star, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, football, there's a lot more positions, and it's how people develop physically. But I think basketball, you're UNLV, you've got great facilities, you're in a great city, you could get a four-star kid every now and then.
And they will. I mean, he's got one already in his first recruiting class. And the more they win, the more players will want to come, and they'll be willing to buy into it. It's you'll get the four stars, but they're going to be select. It's going to be the ones that he wants. Like, it's not going to be the kids who want to come in and say, "Hey, coach, I'll come in, but you got to give me this many minutes because my dad wants me to go pro after my freshman year. So I need shots, and I need this, and I need that." Those kids are not going to. He's just not going to do it.
And I got it. I think that's great. I think I was outspoken.
But if you get
you know this. This time last year, I said Marvin Menzies deserves another year. It was not his fault that UNLV botched the Dave Rice firing and hiring of the new coach. The guy wanted the job. He raised his hand. He took it. The first year was a disaster and not his fault. And I thought in year two, and especially last year, they played good and they had a lot of good pieces. I always thought Marvin deserved another year.
And I agreed with you. Right at the end of last year, I was right there. I said, Menzies, the team has gotten a little bit better. They're not a Mountain West powerhouse yet, but it's trending well. You've got good players. You've got more players coming in. I thought he deserved one more year. That being said, I will say that TJ Otzenberger is a better coach than Marvin Menzies.
Absolutely. He's a better X's and O coach. He's probably a better recruiter, and he puts more time into it.
You're in a better place now with TJ Otzenberger in year one than you would have been if Marvin Menzies was here in year four. No disrespect to Marvin Menzies.
He did a
workmanlike job. He did the best he could here, and it wasn't bad. Like, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. They weren't, you know, laughably bad. You know, they weren't an easy out. They weren't just an easy team to beat. They had recruiting going in the right direction. credit to Marvin Menzies, but T.J. Otzelberger is doing more with this team right now than Menzies would have been doing. So I think fans have got to move past that. If there are any who are still on, I think fans are buying into T.J. Otzelberger. I think they've got a lot of momentum right now. I think the program's in a better place than it has been since.
Absolutely. And you could just tell by the metrics on the stories here on Sun.com that people and the crowds at the Thomas and Mack were getting better.
Yeah.
Right? That San Diego State, when there was so much buzz going on, he went into a tough environment, pulled out a great win. That was a big time end of the year. The team started here. And I know it doesn't make for good podcasting using my hands. They started here and they got all the way over here. And that's a credit to T.J. Otzelberger. They got a great guy in David Jenkins ready to come out next year. If Hardy comes back, if DeJong is in great, man, right?
Is he great?
He's
it?
Great. I like him. And then you get if you got Hamilton, great, if you get Hamilton and Jenkins on the floor together,
yeah, that's I'm telling you, they will be an NCAA tournament. They'll be an at
large
team.
Who's the point guard on that team?
You could run out Coleman as a distributor. You could run out Nick Blake. You could put they'll
Blake
figure
is
it
not
out.
A point guard.
They don't play with a traditional point guard because they play that continuous ball screen handoff motion. So,
but in March you got to have people that can handle the ball and get it up the court.
They'll figure it out.
Nick Blake is not going to do it. You can't put the ball in the hands of a
no. But go look at Elijah Mitrulong's career numbers at Mount St. Mary's, at Texas, everywhere he's been before this, and look at the way that T.J. Otzelberger has now turned him into the best point guard in the Mountain West. Like Malachi Flynn from San Diego State's a player of the year, and then after him, like Mitrulong is the best point guard that any other team has, I would say. And it's not like he was any great shakes before he got here. So I think that, you put a talented player in this system and then you give Otzelberger 30 games to work with him. By the end of the year, they'll have point guard figured out. And with scorers like Hamilton, Jenkins, Hardy, maybe you just need a guy like Coleman to just be steady and distribute the ball and play tough defense and give you energy. I mean, I don't know if Coleman's going to start next year, but they'll figure it out. They won't
and
lose
Hamilton
because they're lacking
gonna,
for guard
and
play.
Hamilton's not going to try to go pro or anything.
That I don't know. It would have been ludicrous to ask that 2 months ago, but now I don't know. You never know with these kids. If he puts his name in the draft process, I would probably expect that. Like, you test the water. You just scored 20 points a game in conference play. Couldn't hurt to put your name in the NBA draft thing. I don't think he's going to get a first-round grade or anything like that. So if he's wants to battle, to be the late second rounder or a camp invite and try to work his way through the G League like Kem Birch and Christian Wood, maybe he wants to do that and just start making money. Or maybe he wants to stay and come back next year and make the NCAA tournament, score 20 a game, be great, fill up the Thomas and Mack Center. Maybe that's what he wants to do. So I honestly don't know yet.
Okay. Well, listen, Rebels Thursday, Boise State. Friday, if they win, likely San Diego State. I don't even know who does San Diego State play.
They play the winner of the winner of one of those play-in games.
Okay. And then if they win, they'd play more than likely the winner of the Reno-Utah State game.
Yeah, the 2-3 matchup.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for UNLV. At least we got live action and something to talk about. Rain, snow, or shine, we'll have coverage on LasVegasSun.com. Really cool the feedback we've received this year from all our great listeners. For Mike, I'm Ray, and this is an edition of the Rebel Room.